face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Young teacher, the subject of schoolgirl fantasy.
Oh, I get it.
So
T-Bone, always with the... These songs we come back with, Ted, they generally mean something.
Was he handed down that kind of characteristic from Jim, or is this T-Bone's own kind of thing? I mean, let's face it, maybe the creative juices have gone to another level now that he's the producer of Zolak.
Jim does it. We think now it was T-Bone the whole time.
Okay.
Who, like, taught Jim how to do this.
Not going to lie. I always find that to be clever and
I thought it was worthwhile. Nice. First thing when he walked in today, he congratulated T-Bone on his new, you know, full-time producer role.
Sure.
And I told you at the time, meet the new boss, nothing like the old boss. No. He's different than Louth, and we couldn't be happier about that.
That's
Louth. Sorry.
I'm guessing, even though Jim's not over there pressing the buttons, he's still in the office and can probably hear you. I don't know. He's probably listening to the show still.
Yeah, but I just feel like once you go corporate...
It's a long walk down the hallway.
The NBA is tightening up their protocol. The Celtics are, you know, missing games now for... How many are we up to, Joe, in terms of scheduling here?
I don't know how many, but I know you're going to get into these, though. But, like, visitors in the road hotel room, like, that's got to be rule number one. What took you so long for that?
All right. Well,
I know. I did find that interesting.
Glad you didn't bury the lead. Yes. No more visitors when you're on the road in hotels.
Didn't you think that was just a standard rule?
But the league is no longer allowing players and staff to leave hotels for non-team activities. And, as Joe just mentioned, eliminating visitors to hotel rooms. One GM said to ESPN, this has been the Mack truck driving through all our protocols. It's kind of what we said about the bubble, right? In Orlando, if you're going to have workers at Disney in and out of the bubble, it's not really a bubble. And as it turns out, well, if they're involved in like food prep and maintenance and stuff, as long as you're not in close contact, that's really not that big a deal. If you're leaving the hotel and going who knows where, or you're having someone from outside your mini transportable bubble coming into the bubble into your room. You have now permeated and penetrated the bubble. There's no more bubble.
Right.
That's it. The protocols, throw them all out the window. If you're having God knows who to do God knows what coming into your hotel room when you're on the road. So that will no longer be allowed. The two sides between the league and the Players Association have agreed to several other things because of the large clusters of players who have tested positive. Teams in their home markets, this is from now until 2 weeks from now, or give and take, till the 26th. Players and staff must remain at home unless they are going to a team-related activity. Or if you're going to exercise outside, if you want to go for a run, you can do that. But unless you're going to a team-related activity, you're at home. You got a three-game homestand, right?
Yeah.
You're at home. You go to the garden or you go to the facility there in Brighton.
Right.
And then you go home and that's it.
You can't go to a restaurant.
Nope.
You can't go to the grocery store.
Nope.
You can't, go hit golf balls.
Players and staff. Well, that would qualify as outdoor exercise.
Yeah, okay.
So Jason Tatum can still go over to CORE and get his lessons there.
Okay, fair enough.
Dan Boisvert. It kind of bugs me how good he got
Did he get good playing there at Disney?
He must have been playing down at Disney, but he was taking lessons, during the initial lockdown.
Concentrated, like, 2-month period, if you're getting lessons a couple times a week and playing, I think you could probably get a lot better.
Oh, those guys
I need
are,
to do that.
Those guys, that's not a place just to go bang balls and, you know, try and get better. If you're actually going to, like, work on your game, that's the place to do it.
You got that right.
You got good. Let's see. Pre-game meetings in the locker room can last no more than
10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Yeah, 15 is the that's the cutoff, right? When that's you don't want to be face to face for 15 minutes.
Well, that's what they say. I mean,
this is tough for guys. You can see it. I mean, the bubble was they thought okay, the bubble last year. Okay, we can do the bubble sacrifice. Got it. But all these other little restrictions. It's guys are going to. You know, and it's harder to control this, right? Because I don't think they have contract tracing devices on them when they leave the facilities, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. Hey, guys, if I may add, do you think this has something to do with why Kyrie Irving maybe is missing some time?
But he stopped playing basketball before these new protocols were in place.
Yeah, but do you think maybe he just didn't like the way things have been going? With the protocols in general. I mean, I'm just coming up with another reason. Like he's going to have to come up with some statement. So I don't know. I mean, I'm wondering if he just didn't like the way, you know, maybe he didn't feel
I don't
safe.
Know. Maybe he went down another YouTube rabbit hole about, you know, COVID being a hoax and he doesn't believe in any of this stuff, right? You know, if you like this flat earth video, you might like this. And then he clicked on that and spent, you know, 9 hours in the middle of the night watching videos on how this
whole
thing,
made up thing.
It's all
this whole
made,
COVID thing. It's
a
all
made up thing.
BS. Look, you know, I could see players. I don't think this is too much to ask, considering it's like a 2 week. They're hoping that, you know, to get through the winter, these protocols. I know it's got to be tough on these guys, but you're making a ton of money, and I know it's hard, but I don't think it's too much to ask. I really don't.
This is, but here is where I think you could, you know, get some real pushback. Okay, and not on all the protocol, like. Team flights, they want the seating charts to be the same as on the benches, right? They want massage, physical therapy spread out.
Yeah, no problem.
Players must also wear masks on the bench at all times.
Okay, no biggie.
Really? There'll be a cool-down period when players check out of a game with a designated area where they don't immediately need to wear a mask.
Okay.
Which is important because we talked about this from the start of the NFL season about guys like, oh, they can wear a mask like as part of or attached to their helmets. And I said from the beginning,
no.
There's no way.
No way.
Even the best conditioned athletes,
nope.
Would you ever agree to have something in even a small way obstructing your breathing, Ted, when you were playing?
No.
You would say,
no.
Okay, I'm not going to play.
And right. And I've had asthma my whole life that I've always had to manage. So no, there's no way I'm putting something over when I'm trying to play at the highest level. Forget it. So of all those protocols so far, which is the one you have, if you're a player, which one would you have the biggest issue with?
They must also now always wear masks in the locker room when doing strength and conditioning and when traveling with anyone who isn't a household member. So these guys who love to work out, you have to wear a mask. You're going to the gym, right?
Yeah.
Your gym is reopened.
Yes.
Okay. Do you wear a mask in the gym?
I do.
Does it bother you?
It's hard.
See?
Over the nose. Over the mouth. When you have to put it over the nose and the mouth, obviously, which you're supposed to do, it can be tough. It can be hard to breathe. You know, there's times where I'm like, I got to pull the mask a little bit out to just.
That's not allowed.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't want to die on a gym floor, so. You know, I gotta get my workout. So I do at times maybe fudge it because I just don't want to pass out because I can't get air to me.
T-Bone, you wear a mask at the gym? This is where he says he doesn't go to the gym.
I don't go to the gym.
See, go to the gym? How do you just wake up jacked up, vascular like that every day?
He won't cop to it.
Wait, is there shaming? Is there gym shaming going on?
No, there's nothing he says.
What's the longest you've worn a mask?
That's a continuously. Question. That's a good question.
It's hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
5 minutes here or there into a store.
I would say the longest is on a, you know, on a plane, airplane trip. You know, I've had to go on airplanes. You know, the whole flight you have to have it on.
So I would say the longest I've worn a mask is earlier this fall. My kids' games, where even outside, you had to wear a mask, and I'd wear one for, you know, you're there before an hour and a half, 2 hours.
You probably passed out.
No, I was fine.
No, as long as you, I mean, like, if you're doing something where your heart rate is above, like, you know, 130, like, it's hard to have it over your nose and mouth the entire time. You know, I wore, it was the I don't know what's the material, but, you know, this material where it's like, it feels like you're being waterboarded if it's all sweaty. You know, you're like, it's just hard to get air. So it's
that's
very
what
difficult.
But where I thought it was going to be a problem. Hey, guys, you got to wear a mask in the locker room and when you're working out.
You know, you gotta pull below your nose, down below your nose every now and then. Just, okay, and then you put it back on.
Some college teams have to play basketball games wearing masks. I know
My daughter's playing basketball with, and she has to wear a mask the whole game.
My kids were playing soccer.
Yeah. Same thing. Yeah, my son.
With the mask on the entire game this
fall.
If
our kids can do it, we can do it.
Oh, yeah, but my daughter's in a lot better shape. All right, we'll continue. We got a bunch of calls to get to here. We'll get to those next. 617-779-0985.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Consider them part of your benefits package.
That was the dumbest 30 seconds we've ever had on this show.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bunch of calls here on the NBA. Football with Ted Johnson and Joe Murray. Me, Hardy, in for Zolak and Bertrand. Let's get to him. Longest order await is Brandon in Boston. Brandon, what do you got for us? Brandon! All right. Brandon, sorry. If you're listening, give us a call back. Derek in the car. Go ahead, Derek.
Hey, guys. Great crew today. Teddy, huge fan of your... Yeah, huge fan of your career.
Thank you.
Even bigger fan of what you've done since then, kind of shining some light on mental health issues. That means a lot to a lot of people. You talk about that stuff. But, hey, wanted to get your thoughts, Ted, given your ties to Houston, on sort of the strange stuff going on with Jack Easterby and the dynamics playing out over there. And I know you're still probably tied in a little bit, so.
Yeah, it's a fascinating situation. And there's, I mean, Jack Easterby, there's – Bill O'Brien brought him there. Was it 2 years ago? And so he has somehow made an impact on the owner, Cal McNair. The old owner, Bob McNair, the father of Cal McNair, passed away a couple of years ago, a few years ago. And so Cal is now taking over duties and responsibilities. And it just seems like what I'm hearing is that those two are very, very, become very, very close. The owner of the team and also Jack Easterby. And, you know, it's one of the things I told you off air is there's this thought that, you know, like Cal McNair is a God-fearing man and is a church-going guy. Jack Easterby is. There's kind of something that unifies them and brings them together a little bit. Is their kind of their interest in that. And then Jack's just ability to, I think, I don't want to say manipulate, but impact the decisions there with the owner. So it is the people down there don't want to hear about Patriots anymore. They don't want to hear the Patriot, you know, Bill O'Brien or the Patriot way, or this is how with Vrabel and Romeo Crennel, and Bill O'Brien and all the ties from New England, people are just, they're tired of it.
The narrative on Jack Easterby changed quickly, I would say, because you only have to go back a couple of years. Eric Scalavino from Patriots.com wrote a piece on Jack Easterby. You know, you don't know Jack, the most influential Patriot you've never heard of, right?
I think I read this article, yeah.
He says, he's one of the most genuine people I've ever met. He's been a great friend to me. David Andrews. There are so many amazing things about Jack. Jacob Hollister. He's just energetic, always smiling, always in a good mood, always asking how you're doing, how's the family, other stuff outside of football. He just cares a lot about the guys in here. Chris Hogan. This is Jack Easterby. Ryan Allen. What makes him so special is the way he's able to connect and communicate with a large array of people. Matthew Slater. I can only hope and pray to be half the man that Jack's been and impacts lives the way he has.
Wow.
Whoa.
Right.
Matthew Slater. So it starts to change that Super Bowl ring ceremony, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Is that the one? Is that the point where things start to get a little weird when Nick Caserio is courted to try and come to Houston? Yep. And
Jack is invited back to the Kraft's house to get his Super Bowl ring from the 2018 season. And it starts trying to get Nick to, I guess, break his contract to come be, part of what's going on there in Houston. And that's where things went sideways. All those things that you're hearing about, nicest guy. Look, in a world that sometimes, particularly in New England, where even winning, you could go to work and you open the door. It's like it feels like we're losing around here when you're winning, and you have this kind of bright, shining kind of happy go guy that's positive all the time. People are going to be connected. You know, that's going to resonate. Guys are going to like to be around a guy like that. But does he know a lick of football? Nicest guy. I haven't heard one of those players say, and his knowledge of football is unlike anything I've ever been around. None of that. Just because he's a super nice guy, he's got a dynamic personality, doesn't mean he knows jack about football. And he's been given a lot of kind of power over in football decisions when he's not qualified to make decisions in football.
And as good as a guy as he was in the locker room, the players, you know, liked him and felt at ease with him and thought he really had their best interests at heart when it comes to the actual business of the game and putting a team on the field. How he managed to get himself into a role like that, I don't know, but you ask Deshaun Watson, it's not going well. You ask former Texans, they're saying nothing has gone well since he got there.
You know, but he's probably really smart. He's like, look, I mean, I'm a chaplain, and if I can get in these inner circles and get job titles and work my way up, I got to make a pretty good living doing this. I mean, he just signed a multi-year contract in Houston. Jack Easterby did right when Nick Caserio did. So a multi-year deal. I'm sure he's making millions of dollars to do what? I'm not sure. But Cal McNair is giving him a lot of power.
Dan in Grafton, you're on the Sports Hub with Ted and everybody. What's going on here, Dan?
How you doing, guys? Good show.
Good.
Hey, listen, I got a question for Ted, and then a point I want to make. Ted, do you ever think about, like, making movies and stuff?
Yeah, you ever thought about making movies?
You know what? I've been approached before.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I can see why. Look at you.
Well,
yeah. And, Hellboy.
And listen, about
true story.
About
I did get approached.
And about the NBA and stuff, right? So you mean to tell me if a player's wife calls him and, honey, can you pick something up on the way home? And he stops at a convenience store and somebody takes a picture of him. What's going to happen then?
Yeah. What am I doing?
Yeah.
You need me to pick something up on the way home?
Somebody, you know, he's talking about the new NBA protocols. You're supposed to just go home, and a player stops at a convenience store to get milk on the way home and somebody takes a picture. Well, he's breaking protocols. That's what he's saying.
Oh, okay.
What do you do with that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess I don't stop on the way home. I thought he was telling me I need to stop on the way home.
No, he was not. He was just saying, what happens if a player...
What happens?
With all these new protocols.
Ryan in Providence. What do you got for us, Ryan?
Hey, guys. Love the show. I just wanted to touch the base on Kyrie Irving and just how insufferable he is. Ted, just as a teammate, like, seeing his actions, like, how would you react to that? With just the hypocrisy and something that Joe said about maybe that he's nervous about COVID, I don't think that could be a valid excuse, especially when he comes back and after he's been seen without a mask on at a party.
Yeah.
And I got one more thing, guys. Just wanted to see if you guys could give a shout out to the Barstool Fund for small businesses. They've raised over $23 million, just
crazy.
Doing awesome stuff. So thanks, guys. Yeah. This is the best midday show it's been in a while. So appreciate
thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. I don't know as a teammate how any of these guys can feel good about what Kyrie is doing right now, unless they've had more contact with him than the head coach has.
Right.
You know, hopefully he's been in contact with some of these guys, because it doesn't sound like Steve Nash knows much about what's going on and why he's out and when he's going to be back. So, you know, to a player, I don't know. Have you talked to him? Have you talked to him? Yeah. Have a guy go AWOL like that?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. And these players, they can't be happy. Let's face it. I mean, if I'm on the new, on the Nets, the Brooklyn Nets, I'm excited about my chances this year. I mean, I've seen what the possibilities could be. They look like they can contend with the Lakers, who are stacked. They look like they could easily be the best team in the East. If it all showed
up, if you've got Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, are you worried about any? Are you really worried about Giannis and the Bucks?
No.
Are you worried about Miami?
No.
You've got Kevin Durant and Kyrie.
Dude, you look like you can be unbeatable. But those players, there's a hierarchy in the NBA, and Kyrie has got this. You know, look, he is considered one of the best, and so players. They concede to Kyrie, and they're not. No one's on that team other than Kevin Durant is going to say a damn word to Kyrie about what he's doing, because Kyrie has so, think about it. He has so much. He picked the team he wanted to. Hey, I don't know if the Brooklyn Nets were. You know, basically, Kyrie said, "I'm coming there. Okay, we'll give you a max, and I'm bringing Kevin Durant. Okay, you know, like they're not going to say no to that. But he's had so much power given to him since he's been there." You know, and he's got more power than the head coach, right? Yes. Who's going to say anything to Kyrie? He is, the head coach, the general manager. He is the Brooklyn Nets.
If you could pull up Tony in Connecticut for me there, please, T-Bone. I'm frozen over here, but I want to grab him before we get the headlines from Joe Murray.
I mean, I can't wait to see how this story ends, though, when he does come back and what he's going to say.
I agree. Tony, you there? Tony! Tony! All right, we'll try Brandon then in Boston. Brandon, you're on the Sports Hub. What's going on, Brandon?
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my phone call. So if I'm Kevin Durant, I'm looking at Kyrie like, listen, you wanted me to come play with you, okay? We have a season that we need to start off fast and hot. You know, I went through COVID. I come back, I'm still playing. You're gone. I could have stayed with Steph Curry, yeah. Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, yeah. A winning championship team that I could have went back to the finals with. And you're acting like a little twerp. If I'm Kevin Durant, I'm looking at Kyrie. I'm like, listen, I'm looking at my agent. I'm like, listen, I'm out of here after this, after 1 year, because I could see this is going to be a continuance staying with Kyrie. And he proved that in Boston. And if I'm Kevin Durant, I want out of the Nets.
I honestly don't know if the conversation goes on that long, or if it's more just a question of where are you? What are you doing? I'm sure Kevin Durant is thinking all those things, but when it comes to, like, you know, playing it that far out in the conversation, how about start with, what are you doing? Are we doing this or not?
Has anybody heard from Kevin? Has he made a statement about this? I mean, I think he's missed the last few games, but he came back, I think, recently. I'd love to know what he thinks about this. If I'm him, I'm like, I mean, seriously, you can't be happy if you're Kevin Durant with what he's doing.
Without Kyrie, he's played against the Nuggets, and Kyrie wasn't there, obviously. Come from behind deficit, 122-116 win over the Nuggets last night. Nets trailed by 18 points in the third quarter, and then Durant went off, and the rest of the team got the job done, obviously without Kyrie Irving. So he's out there. He's playing.
Have you ever seen a player just kind of take off from the team? Dennis Rodman did a little. Dennis Rodman.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of knew where he was at, though, right? Everybody kind of knew. He just needed a couple days off.
Well,
going to Vegas. Nobody knows where Kyrie is doing what he's doing or what he's thinking.
And then Phil Jackson says to Michael, you got to go get him. What? I have to? Yeah, you got to go get him. Let's we'll take a break here. We'll get our headlines. You're a Jeopardy watcher ever, Ted?
I do. I do like Jeopardy, yep.
And there's going to be a guest host here coming up. We're going to talk about.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
About that.
They're the office gossips of Boston sports.
It doesn't matter about games and outcomes and scores. He got fingered.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
One of my idols growing up was Alex Trebek. you know, and being able to be on Jeopardy years ago, even though my wardrobe outfit wasn't the greatest choice.
No, no, it doesn't matter. Everybody's dress is very bad on that show.
They're doing some guest hosting spots, and it's going to be released here pretty soon, but I have the opportunity to do one of those.
Let's go! Did you watch Ken last night? Did you watch Ken?
No, I didn't see Ken last night. I was watching some film and checked in on the college football championship as well for a little bit. But I'm excited about that opportunity with Jeopardy.
You thought Aaron Rodgers was insufferable now.
Wait. Hey. But don't you think he's rehabbed his image a little bit? Don't you think this year? Doesn't he? He, as I read somewhere, where he said he is more at peace, he's with his life, he's couldn't be happier, he just seems, I mean, he's having an MVP kind of season, he just seems, I think, I don't know, nicer than he's ever been. Maybe he's got a lot of his things figured out in his personal life.
I guess, put it this way, I didn't hear as much about him this year, and if you're Aaron Rodgers and your team has made the playoffs and playing well, mm-hmm. that's good. You know, like, no news is good news when it comes to Aaron Rodgers.
That's a good way to put it. Right.
Right.
No former players saying was a jerk.
Yeah. But he is already got his shot at guest hosting on Jeopardy. Since the passing of Alex Trebek, they have not named a new full-time host. I've seen one episode with Ken Jennings guest hosting.
And how'd he do?
He's fine.
You think that's the hardest job to do in the world? I mean,
the hardest job to do, the hardest game show hosting job?
Right.
It's got to be.
What? Come on. How can it be?
The pronunciations.
Okay.
I'd be scared to death.
Okay.
You have all the answers in front of you.
But you get to rehearse them. It's not like they're you're seeing them for the first time. It's like you get to make sure you can pronounce every word.
Well, what game show hosting job would be more difficult than hosting Jeopardy?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Wheel of Fortune? You think Vanna's got it rough? You know, as a co-host, having to turn the letters?
No, Vanna's got it easy. Yeah.
She's been doing great. She's got it rough. She looks great, though.
Price is right. you think you want to give it to Vanna? You give it up for Vanna, Joe?
You just think
she's
got
to walk
good.
And make sure those things are right, back and forth, and clap, you know?
Okay.
Ken Jennings was fine. He's got a bit of a – and look, we're talking about a guy who's on TV, right? And he is the greatest Jeopardy champion of all time. But without a doubt, Ken Jennings is the man. Jeopardy James was fun to watch. He went big with some of his bets. He won more money faster than anyone else. But in terms of the guy who played the game as well as he did, and he's got the money, he's got the number of games won, his overall, you know, body of knowledge, trivial or not, it's Ken Jennings. He's the man. There's a reason why he got the gig.
I didn't realize he was a former contestant that was crushed, like the contestant of all, maybe of Jeopardy all time.
My opinion, the greatest Jeopardy champion of all time.
Okay.
Ken Jennings, right?
That's cool. They let him do it then.
But he's on TV, and it's about how you look and about how you sound. Mm. And I would never say this about him unless he were on there hosting as a job. You know what I'm going to say, T-Bone? You know what my issue is with Ken Jennings?
He's too little.
No.
Too nerdy.
No. He's got a bit of a lisp.
Okay.
He's going to say mustache.
No.
Okay. That can make a guy endearing. You could be, oh, that's cute. He's got a lisp.
He's not Cindy Brady, okay? That's okay. Endearing.
All right.
Okay? For a guy who's hosting a game show, if you even have just the smallest of mm-hmm. speech impediments, mm-hmm. I would hear it every once in a while. But he was good. Alex was, that was the gold standard, you know? Yeah. And he settled into that role, man. He was calm. He was cool. He would just sometimes when they're doing the little interview section after the first commercial break, and he would go down and somebody would say something interesting. He would follow up. Sometimes somebody would say something along the lines of, "So, Artie, tell me a little something about yourself." Well, actually, I'm from Detroit originally, but now I live in Boston and I work as a sports talk host. And he would say, "Good for you." And move on. Like, I got nothing to say to this guy. He's not all that interesting. And he would move on, and he didn't even care. He was the best.
Yeah.
So it's going to be impossible for anyone to take over right away.
Yeah.
So kind of smart that they're doing these fill-in things. But Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Who knew?
I think it's kind of cool.
Did anybody
watch? He's expanding his brand a little bit.
So did anyone watch Aaron Rodgers when he is a Jeopardy champion in his own right?
Oh, I didn't realize that. Celebrity.
I didn't either.
Okay. Very cool. I didn't realize that.
Apparently
right
he
guy, then.
Did well enough to win something, one of these Celebrity Jeopardy tournaments or at least a night or something like that. So he got a chance to go up there.
I don't think it's a bad idea. I think he needs to somewhat kind of rehab his image. I don't think Aaron Rodgers has the best image. And I'm not sure he cares what I think, but I just think that's, you know, people are kind of maybe a little bit down on Aaron Rodgers. And I think, you know, he's coming towards the end of his career too, right? I mean, maybe he wants to, you know, maybe do more things, obviously try new things when he's done playing football, maybe be more in the public eye. And I think it's a good call for him to do this.
I think so too, because let's look at it that way, Ted. When you're a former player, you can try and go the Tony Romo route, right?
God, that's a great route.
If you can get $18 million, right, and work, I don't know how
work 20 times a year right now. He's working games from home.
Working from home.
Yeah,
he's got his money. He's, you know, and how do you feel about him? How do you feel about him as a color analyst?
I loved him originally. I thought it was his first year. Here you go. First year, too much. Settle down. You're like a happy little puppy dog.
Yep.
It's too much. His second and third year, I thought, okay, he throttled back a little bit, but I do love the insight. I like that I'm a guy who played the game, and I can still learn from him. I learn from him, and I think he does it in a way. He conveys what he's seeing in a way that's, I think, easily digestible. But now this year, I feel like he's not as good. Him and Jim, I've never seen Jim Nantz happier than when he was paired up with Tony Romo a few years ago. And now it feels like, Tony, what?
There's some tension
there. What are you doing? Go easy on my boy, Jim. I'm a fan of Jim Nantz. He's a H-Town guy.
Yeah. So
I feel like Tony's a little hard on him.
You feel like you learned something from watching Tony Romo. I felt like I learned something from watching the Nickelodeon broadcast of the Bears-Saints game. They broke it down for me in a way I could understand.
I regret not seeing that. Everybody's been talking about it, and everybody seems to say that was a really fun way to watch the game.
It was really good.
And I blew it. So yeah. I did not see that.
But if you're Tony Romo, okay, that gig's taken. I don't know how many $18 million a year contracts they're going to be handing out to former court. I mean, there's only so many of those jobs. And do you want that job anyway? Do you really want to keep talking football, or do you want to do something else? And if you can maybe showcase your ability to do something like this, like everyone said that Gronkowski was going to be able to do whatever he wanted when he left football. It turns out he couldn't.
Yep.
Or didn't want to, or wasn't that in demand. For Romo to maybe get a guest host, guest shot at hosting Jeopardy, and to show that he's actually looks good on camera and he can be a presenter and a facilitator in that regard, he could open up all kinds of things for him.
You're absolutely right. And who's the one player that has, I'm watching, you know, I tend to every now and then, forgive me, it's a kind of a secret indulgence. I will get caught up in the
below deck.
No. Extra Entertainment Tonight.
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
I sometimes like to just every now and then brainless stuff. Just watch those shows.
What time is it on?
It's on usually around 7 o'clock.
Okay.
On most of your networks, Extra, TMZ.
Yeah.
Tonight.
Okay. Next. All right.
Nate Burleson. He's hosting, like, I don't know if it's Entertainment Tonight. I can't remember, or Extra, one of those magazine shows on the regular.
He was one of the guys on the Nickelodeon broadcast, right?
He was.
He was great.
I heard he was.
Mitch Trubisky is.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That wasn't Nate, but there's a guy that's transcended his, you know, he was doing Good Morning Football or America, whatever, and then now he does the studio show for CBS, and now he's parlayed that into a nice little gig.
All right. So
Michael Strahan, another great example of
Strahan's
that.
Strahan's done pretty well.
Done well.
One other story we wanted to get to today, a lot of people are alerting me to the fact that the Masters are apparently going to be allowing people a limited number of patrons out of the course this year.
Ted, so the odds of you getting a ticket probably have gone way down. You try every year, correct?
Two things on this. Number one is they've already done the lottery for the tournament. They already did it essentially last year, and they said everyone who didn't get to go last year, was going to have a crack at tickets, and they did a secondary lottery. And so I've heard this from a number of people. Well, they haven't said how and when tickets will be available. They're already gone. As far as I know, the tickets for however many people they let onto the course.
Have you ever heard of an official number? Because it's
how many they're going to allow this year?
I hate to bring this up because I've been a couple times.
It's the other reason why I bring it up, Ted, is for you to get a chance to rub it in my face again that you haven't been to the Masters. You've been to the Masters twice?
A couple times. Yeah. I mean, I don't like to bring it up around you, but since you're bringing it up, I guess it's an opportune time to just tell you that I have been a couple times, yes. And there's not a lot of patrons there in the first place.
There's not. They limit it to begin with, and they're going to be limiting it even more. So, no, not going again. Okay. All right, let's get to the
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
Takeaways here.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. With current gym regulations, more people are discovering that weight loss starts and ends with nutrition. Drop weight every week with your customized Awaken 180 Weight Loss program. I believe we have one takeaway today, and it was from a caller who had a trade scenario for all of us. And I regret bailing on this early. I'm going to apologize in advance. I don't think we allowed this to play out as long as we should have. Bob in Stoneham, what's going on, Bob?
Hi. Since nothing can really be resolved with the Patriots until Belichick gets through free agency, what I wanted to propose was a crazy trade, and I want your opinion of it.
All right.
Cam Newton goes to Miami. In exchange, Houston gets Tua, the number three.
It's a three-team trade. Okay.
Three-team trade.
Yeah, this is a three-team trade. Houston gets number three, Tua, number three, number 18, and number 33, which is as close as you're going to get to three first-rounders. And they then trade that to Jacksonville for the number one and 45.
It's a four-teamer. All right.
Okay. Right.
I know it's a...
I'm writing this down.
I'm looking at you rubbing your forehead.
Bob, I'm not writing it down. Where does Deshaun Watson end up in all this?
He's in Miami.
So,
and what do the Patriots get?
Yeah, what are the Patriots?
The Patriots are out of it because I don't think you can discuss anything the Patriots do until after free agency.
Okay, it's a three-teamer. Okay. Yeah, the Patriots can't trade. He starts talking about a trade about Cam Newton going somewhere. Well, you're not trading Cam Newton. He's not under contract.
It's a sign-in trade.
They talk to you in ways that they don't give you any context. So they just assume you know kind of the context in which you're giving me no context. I have no idea what you're talking. So Cam goes to Miami. That was completely irrelevant. The first thing he says, so Cam goes to Miami.
Okay. But you have to figure out what Miami is going to do at quarterback after they send Tua to Houston.
So that's his remedy for Miami sending Tua to Houston is for Cam to go there. Okay, gotcha.
Was Deshaun Watson going to Jacksonville?
I think he was going to Miami in that scenario.
Joe Murray said he was writing it down. Why don't you post it online, Joe? And maybe set odds for the Bankroll Boys as to whether or not the trade goes down exactly how our caller in Stone in there laid it out. Ted, as always.
Always a pleasure.
Great fun, buddy.
Thanks, Artie. Good seeing you, pal. Yeah, I enjoyed it, bud. Congratulations, Tom.
Yeah, to everyone.
Way to go, buddy.
It's the beginning of the year at T-Bone. Get on board
T-Bone.
Now.
T-Bone.
The T-Bone train.
I'm on it.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.